The peace that fell over the group once he stopped yapping was blissful. No one else felt much like talking. We were all thinking too much about the grim fate that probably awaited us when the next charge came. Plasma grenades weren't cheap. We couldn't make them on Earth, and they cost galactic credits real money to buy. For that reason, only a few troops had them. Weaponeers and officers who requisitioned a charge for their own personal use. Graves' grenade was the only one we'd brought down here with us. So we were left with snap rifles, a few extra magazines, and our combat knives. The dead were all around us to remind us what might happen any minute. The group was in a depressed mood. I took a deep breath and struggled to my feet. I pushed away Carlos's hand and took a few painful steps on stiff legs.
"Maybe dying would do you some good," Carlos observed. "Fastest way to heal up."
I frowned at him. "Enough with the quitter routine. Graves put me in charge. Get up, everyone. We're moving out of this damn tunnel."
"Where?"
demanded Kiwi. She was the last living woman on the team. Her eyes were big, blue, and a little crazy. Carlos jumped in before I could answer. He pointed down the tunnel.
"Back to the shafts. If there is going to be a rescue, it has to come from that direction."
I slapped his hand down and pointed in the opposite direction. "We're going to see where this shaft leads." They all looked at me like I was mad. I had to admit they could be right, but I didn't care. I wanted to complete our mission. I wanted to know where the enemy was coming from.
"Look," I said to them. "We're screwed anyway. We might as well find out how they got into the mine."
"We'll all die for sure," Kiwi said. "What's the point of that?"
"If we find the end point, we'll have completed the mission. When they revive any one of us who's been down here, we'll report then."
Carlos stepped forward and put a hand on my arm.
"Hey, McGill," he said. "I don't want to rain on your parade, but your idea could get us permed."
I frowned at him until he pulled his hand away. "What are you talking about?"
"That's one of the ways it happens. It's against galactic law to copy anyone who's not confirmed dead. If we wander down into the bowels of this shit planet and get burned to ash by lava or something, they won't be able to ID our bodies. No ID, no reconstruction. Permadeath."
I paused, having not considered that possibility. Throughout our battle so far, we've been on the surface and easily located by sensor equipment. Down here, however, it was a different story. We were cut off by the planet's metallic soil. No one back at HQ knew if we were alive or dead. Probably they hadn't revived any of the team members yet, not even Harris. They wouldn't do it until they had some kind of confirmation, which I doubt they had yet. I shook my head.
"Doesn't matter," I said. "I'm not talking about walking 10 miles or jumping into any lava chambers. I'm talking about exploring this tunnel. What's the difference if we're a few hundred meters farther away from the shaft when they get down here?"
"It's a risk.
One which I'm willing to take," I said,
and I began walking. They grumbled, but they were used to following unreasonable orders, so they fell into line. I headed down the tunnel in the lead, not having the heart to order anyone else to take point. This was my idea, after all. The least I could do was get myself eaten first. As we progressed, it did seem that the level of heat in the tunnel was increasing. I didn't know what to make of that. All Carlos's talk of lava chambers might have had me spooked, or it might be real.
"Check the external temp," I said, halting.
Carlos frowned and did as I suggested.
"No change," he said.
He looked toward Kiwi, who was next in line. She shook her head, looking from her tapper.
"Nothing."
I frowned and examined my systems. I found a fault within seconds.
"It's me," I said.
"My suit must have been damaged during that last fight. Really, I'm not surprised."
"You've got a leak?"
"Maybe. Either that or my air conditioner is dying."
"Bad way to go. This planet runs a fever of 40 degrees Celsius, even underground."
I shrugged. "I'll be hot, but I'll survive. The tunnels won't broil me the way the open land would. I kept going. We'd gone far more than 100 meters. We'd gone at least 1,000, but as my troops weren't complaining, I didn't stop. After nearly 3 kilometers had passed, however, Carlos tapped me on the shoulder.
McGill, this is crazy, man. This tunnel might run 40 kilometers for all we know, and the rescue party might be behind us, baffled as to where we went.
I leaned against the wall of the tunnel and sipped water. My suit's reservoir was running low.
All right, I said at last. Let's give it 10 more minutes. We march that much farther, then turn around.
They groaned, but they followed. I had to admit that even I was giving up hope. 15 minutes later, we rounded a slight bend in the tunnel and saw daylight only 100 meters ahead. That was a stunner. We crouched, stared, and zoomed with our optics. We spoke in whispers, despite the fact we couldn't see any lizards.
I can't believe it,
Carlos said. He was working on his tapper, bringing up data.
My GPS doesn't work down here. No surprise. But the computer counts every step you take. I reset the counter when we started. We marched over 4 frigging kilometers. 10 minutes? You're such a liar, McGill. I hate you.
I found the way out, didn't I? I said, smiling.
Okay. What we're going to do is poke our noses out. Take off your safeties and be ready for anything.
I took a half step, but Carlos's hand fell on my wrist. I pulled it away and almost shoved him. He'd never dare try that crap if I had real rank on him.
McGill, James,
he asked, shaking his head in disbelief.
It's over, man. You found what you wanted. Let's get the hell out of here.
That's what I intend to do. I'm going to march out of this tunnel and radio our report in. They can come pick us up. That will be much faster than walking back.
But they don't have any air power. That wasn't in the contract. We'd have to wait for the ship to send down a lander or walk all the way back through the forest.
I thought hard for a second. The rest of them looked scared. We all knew that going out onto the surface was dangerous. Walking through that forest was going to be close to suicide, and my suit's AC was already failing. But I wanted to see where this tunnel went. The answer was so close I couldn't give up now. I came up with an angle that I thought would give them a good reason to follow me.
Listen, I said. This is all about avoiding permadeath at this point. If we walk out there and get wiped, well, at least the finish will be recorded by our GPS systems. We'll be back in camp within an hour, healthy and fresh. If we stay down here in this hole, anything could happen. We're all taking the risk of being permed if we stay in the tunnels.
In the end, their fear of getting permed outweighed their fear of being overrun by hungry lizards. They complained and gave me frustrated groans, but at last they pulled it together and followed me to the mouth of the tunnel. We crept up to the glaring entrance. The mouth was overgrown and half filled with sifting mud. It was raining outside and relatively cool. The green canopy of the jungle softened the glaring sky, and as our eyes adjusted, it no longer seemed brilliantly bright. We sat just inside the entrance for several minutes, listening to the rain and talking in whispers.
"Do you see anything?"
Carlos asked me.
"Trees. That's about it.
No lizards?"
I looked at him in disgust.
"Don't you think I would have mentioned that?"
I was closest to the entrance. The rest of the team hung back with their rifles aimed at the opening. They looked extremely nervous. I tried to see them through the confident eyes of Graves. He'd never have let his troops see him worried, especially if he was worried. I straightened my back and stared out into the jungle.
"You still can't get anything?"
I asked Carlos.
"Nothing. Not from inside. Damn these metal walls."
Without further discussion, I moved out of the tunnel. I had to crawl to get past the debris-choked entrance. Mud had slid down into the hole, and I thought it must have been a tight squeeze for a jugger, even when it was freshly dug. I walked outside in a crouch, trying to look everywhere at once. A flock of flying reptiles screeched at me and took wing. Their flapping, leathery wings made snapping noises in the air, and they showered me with dark gray guano.
"What's going on?" Carlos hissed.
I looked around for a second longer, then returned to the tunnel entrance.
"Not much. Looks clear.
Come on up."